It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Clay Masters. A week from Monday, all of the Iowa presidential campaign activity will be over. That's because February 3rd, Democrats will hold their first in the nation caucuses. Here to talk about what will actually happen that night is my co-host of the Iowa Public Radio podcast, Caucusland, Kate Payne. Hello, Kate.
Hey.
So we just had a new episode of Caucusland drop yesterday, and it's all about the rules. There's so many of them. But the biggest thing to talk about is that there are new rules. What are they?
Yeah. So let's break it down. The first big change are these presidential preference cards. So in 2016, you know, it was a really tight contest between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. People wanted a recount in some of these caucus sites, and there was no way to do that. So the Democratic National Committee said, Iowa, you have to have a way to have a recount. You have to have some kind of paper record of what actually is happening in those caucus sites. So that's what these presidential preference cards are. The party will tell you they're not ballots because they don't want to anger New Hampshire, but it is something that each caucus goer will write down their choice on a piece of paper, and they'll be able to be counted and tracked if there needs to be a recount out of 2020.
Okay, so the second big rule change in 2020 is that there are only two alignments. I mean, this is caucus lingo here. What's an alignment and what's the significance?
Yes, so those alignments are when the Democrats actually split up into their preference groups according to their candidate. And that's when they're bartering and they're arguing, they're trying to win over different undecided people in the room, and then they get into their corner. That's alignment. And so in the past year, there have been multiple rounds of these alignments. This year, there will be just two, except in some rare cases, there could be a limited third alignment. Try not to get confused about that. But by and large, for folks, there's just going to be two alignments, so fewer rounds for Democrats to make up their minds.
Okay. And the other big thing is once your preference group is viable, as in has at least 15% of those in the room, you're stuck with that choice. So in years past, you've been able to choose another candidate if you change your mind for a different alignment, but not this time. And I mean, we should also point out that you might be committed to being uncommitted by the end of the night.
Yeah, so watch out for that. You have to be really deliberative about what that first choice is going to be because you could get stuck there, locked in. So in that second round, only those non-viable people will be able to realign. Folks can look out for those supporters of some of the lower-ranking candidates, like maybe an Andrew Yang, maybe an Amy Klobuchar. If those candidates aren't viable in those caucus sites, those supporters could be really important in pushing some of those other contenders over the edge, especially with a field this large. Those second and maybe even third choices will be really important in who actually comes out on top.
Another thing that's different about this year is there's going to be a lot of opportunities for campaigns to basically spin a victory out of Iowa. That's because in the name of transparency, the Iowa Democrats are releasing three results on caucus night. Kate, help us understand this.
Exactly. So usually the Iowa Democratic Party only releases how many delegates each candidate gets to the state convention. That's what they call state delegate equivalence. But again, because of pressure from the DNC for Iowa to become more transparent, the Iowa Democrats will release the raw totals from that first alignment, the final alignment, and the state delegate equivalence. So for the first time ever, we will actually know how many supporters walked in the door on caucus night supporting which candidate. Because remember, the Iowa caucuses works kind of like a mini electoral college. The technical winner is based on the number of delegates, not the raw number of supporters. But now we will have that number. So you can expect that campaigns will try and spin that, especially if one candidate gets the most total supporters, but another candidate gets the most actual delegates.
All right. Now, this is all very confusing, but worry not. Kate and I have a podcast called Caucus Land. The newest episode explains all these rules. It's the beauty of a podcast. You can listen to it as many times as you want. Kate, thanks so much.
Thanks.
And we should say also Republicans will hold a caucus as well. They do it a little differently, and President Trump doesn't face much of a fight. You're listening to Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Clay Masters.